Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth podcast, the Welcome to the Jungle edition. I was surprised to realize I had not used that song before, as I go one-on-one with three Bengals newcomers, tight end Mike Gesicki, running back Zach Moss, and safety Geno Stone. The Bengals Booth podcast is brought to you by Paycor, proud to be the Bengals' official HR software provider. By AltaFiber, future-proof fiber internet designed to elevate your home, business, and community to a new level. And by Kettering Health, the best care for the best fans. Kettering Health is the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. Now, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. It's the greatest thing since a new home locker room at Paycor Stadium. For the third year in a row, there's a massive construction project going on at or near Paycor Stadium to give the players state-of-the-art facilities. 2 years ago, it was the indoor practice bubble. Last year, it was a $3 million expansion of the training and recovery areas, including things like a hyperbaric chamber and float beds. And this year, it's a completely redone home locker room. The team researched the latest and greatest in the NFL and college football, and the players' new digs are sure to be first class. Now, let's get to my one-on-one interviews with three Bengals newcomers. Tight end Mike Gesicki signed a one-year contract, reportedly worth $3.25 million, to join the Bengals after spending the first 5 years of his NFL career in Miami before spending last year in New England. The former second-round draft pick out of Penn State has averaged 11 yards per catch in his NFL career and has had a couple of huge games in the past against Cincinnati.
Mike, it's your second experience in free agency. Aside from the financial aspect, what were you looking for this time around?
Really just looking for, an opportunity, first and foremost, and then, to play for a championship caliber team, which is what the Cincinnati Bengals are. Definitely doesn't hurt to, have number nine back there either. So that's definitely something that I was taking into account.
There's been a storyline in the Cincinnati area over the past couple of years that between number nine, Joe Burrow, and tight ends coach James Casey, the Bengals can help a tight end boost his career. Were you kind of aware of that storyline, and did you discuss it with your agent?
So I wasn't aware of the storyline that it was like a, public knowledge, but I definitely was aware that, some guys have been making plays in this passing game at my position, and then saw that, there might have been an opening and an opportunity. So, something that I was excited about and, looking forward to.
We're chatting with Mike Gesicki. You've had as many as 73 catches in a season and 780 yards in a season. No Bengals tight end has ever had that many catches. Only a couple have had that many yards. What do you think you bring to the Bengals offense?
I think just, a vertical – another vertical threat. I think that, this offense has, a ton of playmakers on it already, but, another vertical threat a reliable, dependable guy to go out there and make plays, whether it's on third down, whether it's in the red zone, whether it's a specific matchup that, you like because of size or, speed within, different matchups you get on defense. And, somebody's going to come in here, work hard and, earn every opportunity that he gets.
The Bengals have seen it firsthand. You had six catches for 82 yards and two touchdowns against the Bengals in 2019, nine catches, 88 yards and a touchdown in 2020. You think it was a factor in why they were interested?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if that played into it, but I had, definitely some success against Cincinnati in the past as an opponent, but I'm excited to be on the good side now.
What do you like and respect about Joe Burrow?
Obviously, first and foremost, the things that that he can do with the football. I mean, it's special. Helping make the job of a receiver, easier, and putting the ball exactly where it needs to be. And obviously, a lot of this comes with timing and chemistry and all that kind of stuff, which I'll make sure that we get. But He's obviously, you know, one of very few people on the planet that can, you know, play the quarterback position the way that he does.
We're chatting with tight end Mike Gesicki. You've been in the league for 6 years. You were on some good teams in Miami and went to the playoffs a couple of years ago, but you haven't been on a team that advanced yet in the postseason. Had a lot of personal success. Is team success what you're craving at this point?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm looking forward to, you know, being on a team that has, you know, experienced that. Like you said, I was in Miami, and, you know, we went to the playoffs my last year there, my fifth year, but, you know, didn't win. I haven't won a playoff game. It was the only one I've been to. And so I'm excited to, you know, kind of, you know, be around some guys that have tasted it and that have experienced it. And hopefully I can add my name to that list.
So I like to say that the most interesting man in the world is not the Dos Equis guy. It is Bengals tight ends coach James Casey, former minor league pitcher, a guy who played seven positions at Rice as a college football player. What, if anything, do you know about James?
I'm learning that that is a very valid point that you make, that he's very interesting. And no, he's awesome. He's been great. You know, we've been kind of, you know, hanging around today, and you know, he's been unbelievable. So I'm really excited to work with him. I'm excited for him to, you know, help take my game to another level. And I've heard nothing but incredible things also.
You had a last-second game-winning touchdown catch last year against the Buffalo Bills and did what I think was your version of the gritty after that touchdown catch. Is that what that was?
Yeah, that was a lot of excitement and adrenaline all at once, combined with the gritty. Yeah, it definitely needs some work, but I think the thing that makes it so good is the fact that it's so bad, you know? So that's kind of what people like about it at this point.
There's plenty of room for improvement.
That's right. There's plenty of that, and there's a guy here that knows how to do it pretty well. So,
no question about that. So you are a proud former Penn State Nittany Lion, a school that's had a lot of great tight ends over the years, and you are right at the top of that list. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. There's like you said, you know, there's been a lot of talent, and to you know, to look back at Penn State and you know, still, you know, hold some of those records and to kind of have that that notoriety because of that. It's a good feeling. It's cool. It shows, you know, a lot of you know, work that went into it, and a lot of opportunity and a lot of coaches that helped me get there along the way. We'll always be grateful to Penn State and, you know, what they did, and we'll always be their number one fan.
Mike, we're excited to have you in Cincinnati playing for the Bengals instead of kicking tail against the Bengals. Welcome to the jungle, and thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you having me on, man.
Up next, running back Zach Moss, who led the Colts in rushing last year with 794 yards and has averaged 4.3 yards per carry in his four NFL seasons. The 26-year-old signed a two-year deal that's reportedly worth $8 million.
Zach, did you go into free agency with specific teams in mind, or was it more like waiting for somebody to slide into your DMs and show their interest?
Yeah, you know, definitely kind of waiting for someone to slide in to the DMs. But, you know, we kind of just took it, you know, day by day. We kind of had a good feel where we're going to be at and what teams are going to be interested in, things like that. And, you know, I didn't really, you know, mind in the sense where I would be at. I just wanted to be somewhere where it's going to be a good situation, opportunity to win football games and, you know, things of that nature, because that's what the game's about. And, you know, being able to come to Cincy, I think it's going to be a real good marriage, just because we have so many talented players. And, you know, we run the ball a certain style that I'm accustomed to and comfortable in and things like that. So, you know, I'm definitely excited to kind of, you know, get to work with these guys in the next month and kind of just, you know, get these things rolling.
You mentioned your style. I read an old scouting report that said watching Moss is like watching an exercise in controlled violence. Is that about right? And would you add anything?
I think it's about right, man. I try to, you know, go out there and be physical and kind of set the tone, you know, first for myself and then, you know, obviously for the team as well. And, you know, that's always how I've played the game and how I've played the position. So I grew up You know, watching certain guys like, you know, Marshawn Lynch and, you know, Aaron Foster, those guys that can get downhill, break tackles, and just never really seem to be going, you know, the other way. So that's something I've always taken pride in, and I tried to, you know, put into my game, and, you know, just try to do that every time I step on the field.
Chatting with running back Zach Moss, you've been in the AFC for the last 4 years. What stood out to you about the Bengals?
Being in the AFC the last 4 years, obviously the Bengals have had a lot of success in the last 4 years. You know, like I said, it's a ton of great weapons. Obviously, you speak about, you know, the guys outside, Jamar and T, and, you know, bringing in Mike Gesicki now, having another big target across the middle. And then, obviously, you know, everything starts with number nine and Joe. So, you know, being able to play with guys like that and who have so much talent and have had success in this league, and, you know, it's hard to turn that down and go somewhere else, and, you know, and things of that nature. But, you know, it's I think it's going to be real good. I'm excited to play with these guys and, you know, do my part and do my role at a high level and a consistent level. Because that's, you know, what I'm all about is, you know, I'm not worried about, you know, the glitz and glamour and all that type of stuff. It's about doing the work and being consistent at the work.
You got the biggest opportunity of your NFL career last year with Indy, and you thrived. 165 yards against Tennessee, 30 carries and a road win at Baltimore. Did you feel like you finally got a chance to show what you could do at this level?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this league is all about opportunity. You know, it's you know, when you get to this level, everybody's talented. It's not much that separates guys at this level. And it's all about, you know, I've always kept doing the work. I never cheated the work, never cheated the grind, you know, from my time in Buffalo, where things may have not been in my favor. Even when I got to Indy, kind of just doing the work and staying consistent. So that way, when the time did come for me to have an opportunity, you know, I didn't, you know, piss it away in a sense. Right. So, you know, that's what I'm all about, just being consistent and, you know, doing those things that allow for success. So nothing's going to change now. You know, I'm grateful to have this opportunity to come to Cincinnati and, you know, help this team win games. And that's all it's about.
You were a top 100 draft pick in 2020, the same year that Joe Burrow was selected number one overall. Did you watch him when you were both college seniors? And what have you admired from afar?
Yeah, we were both college seniors. Obviously, what he was doing at LSU with those guys, everybody was watching. It was hard to not watch. But the funny thing is, we were ranked number five in the country at Utah, and we were one game away from getting in. Hopefully, right? You never know with the college football playoffs, but we were one game away to being in the college football playoffs. And you never know how that would have shook out. We probably would have ended up playing those guys in the first round or whatever. So it was always, I felt that close to running up against him and stuff like that. So it's cool to team up with him now. And, you know, he's had a ton of success in the league. And, you know, that just kind of speaks to, you know, who he is and the work that he puts in on a daily basis.
With all due respect to Oklahoma, do you think Utah would have given them a better game in the semifinals had you been the fourth seed?
Yeah, I think so, honestly. If you look back at, you know, Utah in big games in 2004 and 2008, you know, against some big programs, they held their own pretty well and come out victorious on those. So, you know, it would have been nice, you know, to see, you know, a Pac-12 team get in there. You know, I think we would have the best chance in 19 more than anybody else, you know, speaking from the Pac-12 world.
He threw 7 touchdown passes in the first half of that game. So I'm guessing that that Utah might have at least been able to cut that down a little bit.
Hopefully to 4.
We're chatting with Zach Moss. So you're going to be in the backfield this year with Chase Brown. You were on the Colts sideline last year when he took a screen pass and went 54 yards for a touchdown and hit 22 miles an hour on that play. What did your Colts teammates say after that game?
Yeah, I remember watching that play, and it was right up our sideline, and he was just moving, man. And I'm like, wow, who is this guy? Because I didn't know who he was at the time, and I'm like, this dude is fast. But, you know, that whole week, you know, everybody was just, you know, talking about how athletic he is. And, you know, he wasn't playing a ton last year, but with the opportunities that he did get, he definitely flashed each and every time on the tape. So, you know, now getting the chance to team up with him, you know, hopefully I can just go into that room and help him, you know, as much as I can, share some knowledge from what I've, you know, gained over the years and things of that nature, just like, you know, guys that were older than me, vets did for me in Buffalo, and just do the same things down here for our room. And, you know, it's going to have a great time competing against each other. It's going to be great to go out there and go to battle with these guys. And, you know, I'm super excited to know, you know, we got some speed in the room like that. I don't know if I can pick, I can clock a 22, but, you know, it's going to be fun to, you know, see him go out there and excel and, you know, just have fun and compete.
Earning a contract like this, I'm sure, is a great point of pride. You got to earn it. NFL teams are not going to give out nice second deals to players unless they go out and show what they can do. In your case, I understand you're also a dad as of about a year ago. So yes, what's it mean to you to earn a deal like this, knowing that you're taking care of your family?
Yeah, you know, that's why you play the game. You know, it's obviously, you know, this is our job and we want to do our job at a high level, just like anybody in any role that they're in their, you know, own personal careers. And, you know, being able to, you know, put the work in, you know, it doesn't start when you get to the NFL. It starts before college, it starts in high school and little league. And it's something you always dream about, to be able to be in this opportunity. And it's nothing I take, you know, for granted. You know, I'm super blessed to have the opportunity to, you know, provide for my family. And, you know, this is just one stepping stone. And, you know, I feel like I still got a lot left to prove and a lot left to do. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I can add on to that and, you know, we'll kind of see where that goes. But right now we take, you know, take it a day at a time and just live in the moment and just be grateful and, you know, extremely blessed.
You've earned it. Congratulations on this deal with Cincinnati Bengals. We look forward to seeing you in action this fall. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
The Bengals Booth Podcast is brought to you by Paycor, proud to be the Bengals' official HR software provider. By AltaFiber, future-proof fiber internet designed to elevate your home, business, and community to a new level. And by Kettering Health, the best care for the best fans. Kettering Health is the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. Up next, it's 24-year-old safety Geno Stone, who had 7 interceptions for Baltimore this year to finish 2nd in the NFL behind Deron Bland of Dallas, who had 9. And Stone's not the only safety the Bengals are adding, as they are also bringing back Von Bell, who agreed to a 1-year deal after being let go by Carolina. Geno Stone got a 2-year contract, reportedly for $14 million, to switch sides in the AFC North.
Geno, the rumors of you potentially joining Cincinnati started pretty early. Were you anticipating the Bengals' interest?
A little bit. Yeah, I'll say a little bit. Just seeing, I mean, you know, after the season, I kind of look at teams that had safety needs. They're up at the top of the list because, you know, I wanted to go to a team that had a really good quarterback, a team that had a good head coach, you know, a team that had a really good defense and, you know, somewhere I can know I could win. So they were definitely at the top of the list.
So you're only 24 years old, but you got 4 years of experience, and that makes you a seasoned vet on this secondary with so many young kids. What do you think that means to the Bengals defense?
No, I mean, it means a lot, you know, because, you know, coming up for me, you know, I had a lot of vets in my room throughout my whole career, and I was able to learn from a lot of great guys. And now, you know, me being one of the oldest guys in the room, that was kind of crazy. I could share what I've learned and my knowledge I've learned throughout my years. And, you know, now I seen we got Vaughn coming back. So that's another guy that got a vet in the room. So I'm not the oldest guy in the room no more. So, you know, it's going to be great, though. I know, be able to get all these guys' knowledge.
What do you admire and respect about Von Bell?
You know, it's crazy because I go all the way back whenever I went to a camp at Ohio State and he was still playing there. And just the way he was interacting with me and took the time to talk to me. And, you know, since then, I grew a relationship with him. I was able to talk to him more throughout the offseason and stuff like that when I see him down training in Miami. And, you know, he's just a great guy. And, you know, a guy that I watched on film, you know, throughout the years, and a guy that does things the right way.
We're visiting the Bengals safety, Geno Stone. As you know, the team struggled to prevent big plays last year. What's the biggest key defensively to eliminating those explosives?
You know, doing your job and taking the ball away. You know, taking the ball away and make sure you're in the right spots. That's something I think I did a really good job on last year. You know, that's something I want to continue to prove on. You know, I was already talking to some of the coaches about it. You know, some of the things I see, how I see things and how I play. And you know, I want to learn from other people too. You know, I'm always open to learn because you know that's how you grow, and that's what I want to continue to do. My best football is ahead of me, and I'm waiting for that.
Well, you alluded to it. You had a breakout year last year with 7 interceptions. Was it simply a matter of opportunity for you?
Yeah. I mean, everyone keeps saying, you know, all these things about me not getting, you know, as many picks, or you look at my production throughout the years or the scheme or whatever it is. I just never got the opportunity. You know, if you look at my first ever game I actually played, it was my preseason year, my second year. I had 2 interceptions in the first half, you know, and I didn't get another opportunity till later on in the season. And you know, it's my production is there. It just never got the opportunity. You know, when I finally got my opportunity, you know, kind of just was on display.
So one of those interceptions last year was at the goal line off of Joe Burrow in week 2. You fooled him, and that doesn't happen very often to Joe. Did you think that that play was a significant factor in the Bengals' interest?
I would say so. It's something I hear a lot about. You know, Joe came up to me and said something after the game too, and you know, it's a play, you know, that was a pivotal play in the game for them. That's what they keep saying to me too. So, you know, I think it played a little bit of factor.
We're chatting with Geno Stone. The Ravens went 2-0 against Cincinnati last year, but lost the playoff game in Cincinnati the year before. And of course, that game featured the legendary Sam Hubbard fumble in the jungle. We've asked a lot of Bengals about that in the last year, but give us the perspective of what it was like to be on the other side of the field when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it just sucked. I'll say that. I remember sitting on the bench. I'm like, all right, we're about to score. We're going up. You know, it was at that point in the game where no one was really moving the ball. No one was scoring. And we finally started moving the ball around, and we're like, well, the 2-1 yard line. I'm like, this is game. We're gonna get this, you know, score and get to stop them, get off the field, and be, you know, we're gonna move on. And that play was just like, you felt the whole sideline just, you know, just everyone felt the same way. And it was just like, you know, one of the plays in the AFC North game where the one big play happens, you know what happens after that.
How do you describe AFC North football?
I think it's the best football in all NFL. That's what I think. If you look at the numbers last year and just totally overall, you know, our division speaks for itself. You know what type of ball you're going to get every time you play a team in this division. You can't take any game lightly. You know, every game's going to be a close game no matter who it is, who's out there. It don't matter if it's a backup out there, third strings. You know, you're getting a tight game because that's just how this division is built.
Couple more questions for Geno Stone. Some of your Baltimore teammates, including Lamar Jackson, have been joking that you are now dead to them because you are leaving Baltimore and joining a rival. In all seriousness, is it a little bit strange to go from Baltimore to Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, you know. It's not something I ever envisioned. I'll definitely admit that. But at the end of the day, you know, this is the team that showed me the most opportunities that I could make for the most of myself and my family and my career. So I mean, you get a pay raise, you're never gonna decline that, especially you know, in this league. You know, and the opportunities presented itself for me. So you know, if people might say what they want, but them guys joke with me. They all know how I feel about them. I know how they feel about me. And you know, we talked about things all the time, but, you know, I never thought it would be this team, but it is what it is. You know, I'll see them guys twice a year.
You answered my first question by saying you wanted to go to a team that had a great quarterback. Obviously, you played with one in Baltimore, and you're going to play with one in Cincinnati. Can you win a Super Bowl without a guy like that?
It's hard. I mean, that's the first thing that starts with every team. You need a great quarterback, someone that's going to lead your team. You know, you need someone that's going to be able to manage the game right. Someone that could take over the game at any point of the time, you know, someone you could rely on. And Joe's that guy. You know, yeah, he showed it in college. I mean, probably I think he showed it in high school. He showed it now. You know, he's that guy. I think he's the guy that gets back to the Super Bowl.
You know, you were not a 5-star recruit. You were not a high draft pick. You were selected in the 7th round. How has that shaped you and made you the person and player that you are now?
It taught me to be humble. it taught me to be grateful for what I got. It taught me a lot of things. I'll say that for sure, because, you know, without going through that, without my journey, without meeting the people I had, without doing the things I had to do to get where I am today, you know, it would have made me who I am right now. You know, and I would say that just because, you know, I was blessed with the opportunity now to get a new contract, things like that. I'm still gonna be me. I'm not gonna change. I'm still that guy where I feel like I got the target on my back. You know, everyone say I'm limited to things. I'm a seventh round pick. Everyone's gonna still have their opinions, you know, and I'm that guy's gonna go and prove everyone wrong.
You are a great addition to Cincinnati. You have earned every penny of this contract, and we're excited to have you. Thanks for your time, and look forward to getting to know you better.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My thanks to Mike, Zach, and Gino, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Paycor, proud to be the Bengals' official HR software provider. By Alta Fiber, future-proof fiber internet designed to elevate your home, business, and community to a new level. And by Kettering Health, the best care for the best fans. Kettering Health is the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this podcast. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find us. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.